Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 38 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, your official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Jim Biscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Welcome back to another thrilling week of Pokemon discussion.
Yes,
I am like here. This week is less thrilling and more angry.
Less thrilling. Okay.
Yeah. I'm giving you a preview. Right.
There's a lot of people angry about that. If you're new to this show, we talk about a lot of Pokemon things. We talk about the games. We talk about the anime, the manga, everything in between. If it's got a giant Pokemon logo slapped on it, chances are we're talking about it. Show's broken up into three parts. We do a quick news section up front where we talk about just a few headlines that have come across over the week. And then we do a big deep dive in the second half. And then Christian gives us the Pokemon fact of the week, which is everyone's favorite segment.
And we're back to doing the weird ones. We got a weird one.
Oh, heck yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't keep you listening. Nothing.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about today. A lot of Pokemon Go news. There is obviously the announcement of Pokemon Home. Not the announcement of it, but we know when we're finally getting it. And boy, oh boy, do we have things to talk about with that one. And we'll get to it a bit later, but you will have no idea. It's going to blow your minds when you realize the Pokemon that Ash caught in the anime. Nobody saw this one coming.
I know. We're all very proud of our small son.
It's a big deal. Let's start with Pokemon Go because there's a lot more there. Pokemon Go announced Battle League is coming to the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is a much needed, wanted, desired thing from the community.
Well, I'll be 100% honest. I was pretty pumped when they initially announced oh yeah, you can do Pokemon battles. And then the actual system was announced where it was you have to be close by to anyone you want to battle with. And it's like, okay, well, this is something I'll never use.
What?
So the new system is the online functionality that we've all been begging for. It features ranked online match battles. In order to unlock them, you have to walk 5 kilometers. In order to unlock a set of 5 battles, and you can do that up to 3 times a day. And there will be seasons, you'll get exclusive encounters. It seems like a really cool feature, all in all.
And makes you work for it, too, which I think is pretty cool.
Yes.
Pokemon Go is still over here trying to get us walking around.
Yep.
I mean, it's in the name. Uh-huh. I can't fault them for it.
You know, they're keeping up with their noble quest of getting people moving. Yeah, much to, us lazy bums' dismay.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to,
So when does it launch? Is it live now?
They started the rollout and almost immediately were like, we've got issues. We've got issues. Let's hold up. Mm. Hold up. So I don't think
issues with a new feature launch. I'm surprised.
No, yeah. I know.
I mean, I'm mainly just excited to go to the park and because there's the Centennial Park in Tennessee,
big,
Nashville that we go to.
Big Pokemon
huge. Pokemon. There's gyms everywhere. I'm just excited.
It's basically the wild area.
Yeah, I'm just excited to go and walk around the track and follow groups of people that I know are trying to get the 5 kilometers. They walk 5 kilometers and they all stop. To battle. And then they walk another 5 kilometers. Stop. Battle. Just so they get in their walks for the day. It'll happen. I've seen weirder stuff down there.
Yeah, I like the idea of that you can be we'll finally have a definitive answer of who is the best Pokemon trainer in the world in Pokemon Go. I'm curious to see if this will get somehow wrapped into the Pokemon World Championships. There's a lot of exciting stuff that could happen here. I'm interested to see how much of it they actually do, but interesting times.
Yeah, really interesting platform and update and utility.
Mm-hmm.
not so faithful in the rollout and execution.
They'll figure it out.
They'll always get it. They'll get it in about, I'll talk to you next year about it.
Nice. My favorite piece of Pokemon Go news today is the fact that Pikachu Libre is coming to the game because I love Pikachu in a wrestling mask.
It's literally the best part of Pokken Tournament.
In order to get Pikachu Libre, you will need to participate in the Battle League. It is an encounter that you can only get after you compete in the Battle League somehow. They haven't exactly explained it. Also, to tie in, you can now get a Pikachu Libre mask and a Pikachu Libre outfit. I'm very excited about this. I have a deep love of Pikachu Libre, as evidenced by she's sitting right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, right next to Cthulhu. Pikachu Libre, 3 foot tall statue of Cthulhu, you know, about the same.
It all works out together. I'm so excited. Literally the only reason at first when they announced Pokken Tournament, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then they were like, Pikachu Libre. And I was like, all right, getting in line, pre-ordering it right now. That's literally the only thing you had to tell me. So now that I was, like, saw, like, they announced like the avatar and I didn't see it was actually like Pikachu Libre, but I saw like the outfits and I was like, yes. And then I realized Pikachu was also coming in.
I wish they now did my more with Pokken Tournament.
Pokken Tournament is still one of my most upset points about the Pokemon franchise and like competitive gaming that I can't really talk about without getting just furious because I love Pokken Tournament so much.
My big issue with Pokken Tournament was that they didn't support it on the Wii U basically at all. And so, you know, while the Pokken Tournament DX, I think it was called, like the revamped version where they added all the DLC characters and, you know, one new Pokemon was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was still kind of like, you know, had this just gotten a little bit more support, we might have actually seen this game take off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the mechanics were great. It had, you know, a lot of really interesting play styles. I love the fact that they used like non-traditional Pokemon like Chandelure. That was just genius. Yeah. Just freaking genius. And, you know, I feel like it would have been a game that people would have, I mean, because it has a very dedicated fan base.
It does.
A lot of like hardcore fighting games fans love it. Like, you know, was more popular than like a lot of other similar fighting games that came out that same year. But it just kind of withered and died due to a lack of new content. And it just didn't really get that support.
Yeah, it just died. And that is why
I'm forever
angry.
Give me like a sequel, right? Like that's totally fine too.
I think it'll happen. I mean, I think that there is, especially with how Game Freak seems to have shifted their strategy in Pokemon game releases, I think there will be more of an emphasis on trying to get more spinoff games out there to keep that Pokemon brand going during the off years. Which means Pokken Tournament too.
Well, they're going to have to try harder with Pokken Tournament because I'm so jaded and burnt by how they just messed up the rollout.
Megan, the minute like Pokken Tournament shows up in a Pokemon Direct, you will immediately lose all of your bad feelings and be like, give it to me.
I will. It's going to be the immediate like instant gratification. And then I'm going to think about it for 20 minutes and I'm going to say, I'm so mad. You've just abandoned everything that you stood for. But anyways, we'll get to that point when it's
well, like out. I said, all they need to do is actually support the game, and then it'll be fine.
Yeah, no.
You know,
but they just didn't do that one fundamental thing.
To be fair, it also
came
out.
They did do it for the arcade games.
To be fair, it also came out at a really weird time.
It did.
System life cycle wise, right? Like
it was very unfortunate.
Basically, the last good game for the Wii U or whatever, and
poor Wii U.
It was still too early, you know, Switch wise and.
It was just ahead of its time, the Wii U.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So
it was so ugly, though. It was so ugly.
Well, you know, ugly things have a place in this world, too, Joe.
All right, last bit of Pokemon Go news is players get to vote for the next Community Day.
This is actually the weird Pokemon Go story of the week. I mean, every week has a weird Pokemon Go story. But so this month, I think they've officially jumped the shark on Community Day. You know, we've had this going on. This has been an event that's been going on for 2 years. And I think they want to kind of like slow it down just a bit because like this year, they will run out of like starter Pokemon to throw in. They seem to have not want to like make certain Pokemon available in the wild for whatever reason, like freaking Gible and like Ryulu and like Lucario and stuff like that, which drives me up a freaking wall. But, you know, so they've really slowed down the releases of those. So instead, you will get to vote on your next Community Day Pokemon. So this weekend, February 1st, you can vote between four Pokemon. There's Vulpix, there is Machop, there is Rhyhorn, and there is Dratini again. So this would be Dratini's second Pokemon Community Day. And you can vote by completing field research tasks that are tied to one of those four Pokemon. So the research task is always the same. Catch 10 Pokemon. Excuse me. I am fighting a bug. And I'm dying.
Well, dying. Everyone who's listening dead. To this is now listening to Christian Hoffman's death. Rattles.
excuse me. I need to grab some water here.
This is the kneeling sounds of a Pokemon journalist.
All right, Megan, who do you think will win?
I don't want any of them to win because as soon as he listed them, I just fell asleep. So while Hopper's dying, it's because he sent me the plague of these boring choices. If I had to pick, I'm always going to pick Vulpix just because I have, like, personal attachment to Vulpix. Mm-hmm. I don't care about Rhyhorn. I have caught roughly 7,000 Rhyhorn. Yeah. Dratini, it wasn't that long ago that we had Dratini. Like, I mean,
it was 2 years ago.
Well,
I mean, so, define like, recently, you know.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I feel like I caught a lot of Dratini recently, but, or, like, hatched him and stuff, but... I mean, Dratini would be nice. I feel like Dratini's going to win.
The hardcore fan base really wants Rhyhorn because the exclusive move that comes... So they pre-announced what the Community Day moves would be. And Rhyhorn would get a new, like, exclusive Rock-type move. And Rock-type is a great move type to have in Pokemon Go. Super effective against a lot of legendaries and all that stuff. So, like, the hardcore fans really want Rhyhorn. But there's very much a big disconnect between, like... the casual fans and mm-hmm. the hardcore fans. So there's mm-hmm. no guarantee.
So we're getting Vulpix, basically.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be Vulpix or Dratini, and I think that we will then see the Pokemon Go hardcore fan base revolt once again, which would be like the 10th time this year.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it... I would be very surprised if Rhyhorn did win based on casual mm-hmm. players like myself. I'm not into the whole IV stats and like figuring out exclusive moves. My philosophy on Pokemon Go is it cute? I'll catch it. So.
But with the introduction of the Battle League, this stuff matters a little bit more now.
So, this is true. I will be curious to see how the Battle League influences casual gamers in introducing them more to like thinking strategically and competitively with, oh, I need this if I want to, like, enhance, mm-hmm. you know, my momentum mm-hmm. with the league. I'll be curious to see if that happens at all, and if so, what degree.
I don't think it will. My bold prediction is no.
I don't know. I'd be interested. I guess we'll have to wait and see whenever Niantic gets this going in a year from now.
All right, moving along to the Pokemon World Championships. We finally have a date.
I mean, we knew what the dates were. I actually got into like a scuffle with our gaming editor when this news came out. The World Championships are always held the same weekend every year. It's the weekend of my anniversary, which is why I never go to the World Championships, because it's always the weekend of my anniversary. So it was already on basically everyone's calendars, but it was officially announced it will be August 14th through the 17th, and it will be held at the XL Center in London, which we already knew. Mm-hmm. The XL Center is like the only really new bit of information.
Right.
But you will be allowed, this year they will actually have spectator tickets, which is nice. They've kind of shut those down mm-hmm. in recent years due to space constraints, and that won't be an issue this year. That's nice. Cool.
It'll be like a proper Galarian gym battle.
That's really great timing. If they don't
have people dress up as like Team Yell Grunts.
If they don't have one, that's an amazing idea. I didn't even think that. And two, if they don't have a petting zoo of sheep that are like cosplaying as Wooloo, they've missed an opportunity.
I really just want to do the Dynamax chant just over and over and over again.
That's all pretty.
I really want.
I feel like there's going to wind up being like some sort of like game-wide like cosplay event at this thing, and everyone's going to be like, are we in London still, or are we just like seriously like moved? I don't know. That's pretty cool. I'd be interested. Plus, you know, they're gonna have some sweet like exclusive like
merchandise.
I mean, the Nashville Worlds had Rhinestone Cowboy Pikachu, which is still arguably the greatest mascot we've gotten from Worlds. But I'm curious to see what London is. Because when London opened that like temporary Pokemon Center, they had like Winston Churchill Pikachu with the top hat and the mustache and stuff. So I'm curious what that'll look like. I'm just here for the cute merchandise, guys.
Yeah, I mean, the merchandise is always second to none. I mean, I really wish they would do it more for like the national tournaments, you know, like I would love to get some Columbus, Ohio exclusive merchandise because that's where the North American tournaments seem to always be at. But that will never happen.
So what are the chances that the merchandise is actually Pikachu cosplaying as the champion Leon?
I really hope that's not the case. Man.
Triggered and now
I see. I see what
don't,
you did.
Don't
there,
put
Megan.
That evil eye.
I threw a grenade in the room and then I just backed out.
Why? Why would you? Why would you even say something like that? That's just disgusting and wrong. And also, no one would buy that. People would buy it because people are saps, but no one would be happy about buying it. They'd be grumbling.
Leon would be their local hero.
Yeah. So. I mean, you're just disparaging an entire community. Honestly,
there's true. There's no Leon community.
Apologies to all of our UK listeners.
Yeah. I apologize on Megan's behalf for putting out such terribleness into the world.
All right, let's talk about Ash's latest catch, which is a pretty big deal.
Ash Ketchum is just balling right now in the anime. Like, been the perpetual butt of every joke in the anime since it began. I mean, it's decades in the making. And then this new series comes out and he's like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna go to the Battle Frontier, but I'm gonna take Mr. Mime and he's gonna wreck all of you. And then today, in this most recent episode, he's like, you know what? I just feel like catching a Dragonite.
and he did!
He catches like a pseudo legendary Pokemon. And like, it's like the most insane moment.
Yeah, there was somebody like pointed out, it's like on Twitter I saw something, it was like, here are the first Pokemon that Ash has caught in, you know, each series, and it's like, oh, it's a Caterpie, oh, it's like, you know, a Hoothoot, oh, it's Talo, oh, it's Rowlet, oh, it's a I can't say that word, it's a Dragonite. And it's like, you know, like, ever since he became champion, he is just like now just like casual, like there are words that I would use to describe Ash, but I can't because we would lose lose our family friendly rating. But let's just say that Ash is he's got some big kahunas.
Like, I think it's so impressive. Like, so basically, if you haven't like heard of what's happened in the latest episode of Pokemon the series, basically Ash and Go, they wind up on this island full of Dratini and Dragonair and Dragonite. One, they have a hilarious conversation looking at the three Pokemon and they go, how did Dragonite come from you guys? They're like, wouldn't Milotic be better? I don't understand. Like, they like, it's such a meta question because so many people are like, what? But then he winds up.
It's a fair question.
It is a fair question. It raised some really good questions. But then in the series, like, there's this Dragonite and it's like kind of like scared to fly and stuff. And Ash is like, you know what? I got this. We're going to train you. It's going to be fine. And then it's like this like hilariously whimsical training montage of like Ash and this Dragonite. And he winds up catching the Dragonite. Like, he gets it in the Pokeball. Dragonite went in the Pokeball. Like, that doesn't happen. This is like a pseudo legendary Pokemon.
That barely happened when I first played through Blue.
Yeah, like he just casually went doop boop boop. Done.
I mean, we always knew that Ash was a better Pokemon trainer than Jim Viscardi, but this episode officially makes it real.
But it's just interesting to see how everyone's freaking out about one Dragonite. And some fans are upset that like all the Pokemon that he's been working with currently are Gen 1 Pokemon. But honestly, we're going this is a new series that allows us that nostalgia. Mm-hmm. We haven't been able to have this, the like let us revel in it a little bit.
It's been a while since and we really got to play with Gen 1 stuff.
I know, which is great because in the next episode, we've already gotten some promo images. Lance is coming back with his red Gyarados.
And Ash is just going to like wreck Lance like, hey, hey, Lance. Hey, buddy. Hey, yeah. See this? I got a Dragonite too. Let me go and beat up your red Gyarados. Hey, remember me? Remember me? Remember how I couldn't get like a gym badge on my own for like half of the my first journey to Kanto? Yeah. Like, you know, behold. I can't even look at this.
I'm so excited to see that because in the original anime with Ash and Lance, like it was very much like Ash was like, oh, you are who I want to be. And Lance was like, you are a fly on my shoe. He was like, I couldn't care less about you. And now Ash gets to have this reunion and be like, I just caught a Dragonite.
What now, Lance?
I am the champion of the Alola region. I am all of this like stuff combined. And, you know, I'm just curious to see if the anime will nerf Ash again. Because so far, they have just lifted him.
It's too late.
They
can't. It's too late.
It's too late. So I'm curious like to see how this is going to turn out.
So this is...
No,
this
something's... Well, go ahead, Christian. I'll let you go first. No,
I was going to say, like, you know, here's the thing that has really struck me. It's like, we have Go, who's catching all these, like, low-level, like, you know, not even battling. He's basically the dude who's just spamming Pokeballs and catching whatever junk he can catch to that. And meanwhile, Ash is like, oh, no, these are beneath me. I catch pseudo-legendaries or above. Like, by the end of the series, Ash is going to be, like, riding in on, like, a wave of just all powerhouses, all legendary Pokemon, all pseudo-legendaries. He'll probably have, like, a shiny Mewtwo or some junk like that.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
that's
like, you know, the trajectory we're on.
Like, feel like he's going to steal the red Gyarados from Lance.
Or on the flip side, like, something tragic is going to happen.
Oh, God.
And, like, we're either going to lose the Dragonite or the Dragonite's going to have to fly away. It's going to be Bye-Bye Butterfree all over again with one of these.
Oh, no. Oh, so that Bye-Bye Butterfree is going to be dead, dead Dragonite.
Oh, my God. Oh,
God.
You're welcome. Hey, Jim Viscardi brought it up. Let's not even pretend like I'm the one who came up with this idea.
Oh,
he started it by saying it's going to get dark and tragic.
So I would just like to say that my headcanon for Ash's like meteoric rise out of mediocrity has been that once he finally got some like quality like father-son bonding time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he had Professor Kukui, who's like the first like adult man to ever show like an interest in Ash, mm-hmm. like beyond like, ah, yes, Ash, you're going to be my research assistant. Go off into the wild. You know, he finally gets that, like, nurturing that he needs. And voila, suddenly he is champion. And now his stepfather is like, oh, God, I've been neglecting him all the time.
He's
saying that in Pokemon, you know, because he's a Mr. Mime. And so, like, him and Ash, and so now he's being lifted up even higher. He's finally getting the parental direction he needs, and boom. He's like champion of the world now.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. We got Red Gyarados coming. He caught a Dragonite. Gengar's in the next episode. It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited.
I'm going to get a Gengar, and I'm going to love it.
Oh, man. This is everything I've wanted in the anime for a long time, and it's happening, and it's just the greatest moment. So, very excited.
So, the trading card game can be hard for people who are just getting into it.
Accurate.
Parents especially. Older parents.
Oh, well, yes, I can understand.
So a mom has gone viral for trying to learn the trading card game.
I mean, she did learn the Pokemon trading card game, which therefore invalidates everything you just said there. Nope. She picked it up while not understanding any of the names of it. She was like, so this post went viral. And it's like this mom went to a pre-release tournament last weekend. They kind of showed her how to play the game, and then she dominated in the tournament. All the while not even being able to, like, say the Pokemon's name. Just, like, wrecking them. Like, oh, yeah, here's my Rakizi. I do, like, 120 damage to you. Is that right? And it's, like, just murdered. Like, apparently she did really well in this pre-release tournament. Got into the game. It was a good opportunity for them to bond with their child, and everyone's talking about it, and it's adorable.
Yeah. This is adorable, but there is a 2% part of me that really wants her to have just been, like, sharking everyone. I want her to have been proactive.
Like, she goes from town to town, being like...
I want her to, like...
Just bringing a kid along with interest in
Pokemon. You mean the Jim Viscardi method?
Yeah, basically. I want her to have listened to this podcast, have heard what Jim did in his past youth, juvenile years. And then I want her to have been like practicing on the side, hustling, and like all Toys R Us's are gone now, but wherever they go to like Target or something, been like hustling, playing Pokemon, then shows up, texts their cop, but do you know what this Pokemon is? I don't know. Like, that's what I secretly want. Oh. But like, this is so cool. Like, I love this.
Is
like,
this Pokemon with a sword in the mouth any good? Because I'm going to play it and then kill your Pokemon.
Yeah. Like, for me, as like my mom tolerates my Pokemon love. She always makes fun of me. Like, I'm wearing Eevee socks currently. Mm-hmm. When I got, like, these, like, Pokemon socks, she was like, is those your Pokemans? And I was like, oh, that's not the correct plural. But, like, I guess we're like, you two have kids. Like, these kids are going to be great growing up.
I mean, my child does currently wear a Pikachu hat wherever he goes. Mm-hmm. So,
he's literally a Pokeboy.
I mean, like, here's the thing. So, I've had way too many conversations about the Pokemon trading card game and whether or not it's hard or easy to understand. And, like, my stance has always been the game is not that difficult to pick up.
No.
Like,
no.
If you spend like an afternoon with the rules, you know, go and play through a few games with, like, your kids, you can learn it. I've had this conversation so many times, usually at the card wall at Target, with, like, parents, like, staring at, like, what choices they have. And it's really not a hard game. And it's, like, you know, I really feel like if your kids take an interest in something like the Pokemon trading card game, you should join in. Like, one of my biggest regrets... I loved the Pokemon trading card game as a kid, and I had no one to play it with. Mm-hmm. Like, no one to play it with. Like, the only time I actually got to play the Pokemon trading card game was the video game. All right? Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, and that's, like, really disappointing. And, like, the Pokemon trading card game, like, yeah, if you don't know a lot about Pokemon, it can be a little bit weird, and it can be a little bit, like, silly, but your kids love it. And, like, how often do you get an opportunity to really engage with your kids' interests like that? And, like, you know, actually have a hobby that you can bond with. Like, you know, this is good parenting. Now, in this case, like, this mom is doing this with her adult daughter. You know, I think it's, like, her adult child. It's a very good example. Like, I think
the,
more
the hardest
parents
thing
like that.
To me is, like, is the deck building aspect of it.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, the mechanics of it, you know, like you said, a game or two in, and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I kind of get it. But it's, you know, if you don't have, I mean, fortunately, like, there are, you know, you can buy the deck starters.
Yeah, you can buy the pre-made decks. I mean, that's what I do a lot with when my nephew was first getting into the game, I would just get a bunch of the pre-built decks. And I was like, okay, pick one. And so we would each pick one. And, you know, like I said, it's just good parenting. There is a very low bar to entry for these games.
Yep.
I mean, like, you know, you can just buy a pre-built deck for, like, what, $15? Boom, you have a deck that you can play with.
Yeah.
You want to get better? Like, even so, like, it's not that expensive. It is a hobby that both you and your child will appreciate. And you don't, you know, look at, like, the other stuff. Like, if you play, like, if your kid plays a sport, you know how you interact with that? You take them to the games, you watch the games, you support them. If you're, you know, you might coach them for the game. And if you're not a great parent, you are one of those, like, psycho parents who are, like, screaming at the refs. There's no room for that, like, toxic parenting in Pokemon trading card games. It's great.
Yeah. It's just not there. Because, like, for me, like, my mom had no interest in playing Pokemon trading card game with me or my brother, but she did have access to a car, and there was a Toys R Us down the street. Mm-hmm. So whenever they would have their, like, they had weekly tournaments, I think two or three times a week, and she would take us there. And she would be like, I don't know what you're doing. I'm going to go look. Bye. Like that was great. So, like, I very much side with Hoffer here on that discussion. So, it's pretty great. It is a low entry bar.
It is.
And I have to, this is a good segue for me. Speaking of low entry bars into Pokemon hobbies, we got some of the Pokepla into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And so jealous.
We built them.
They're great.
They're awesome.
They're fantastic.
I've been hiding Pikachu in my
cloak. For those watching the video feed.
Yes, this is my Pokepla Pikachu.
It's
adorable.
Pretty cute.
Yeah, it's bigger than I thought it was. First of all, to mention. So we discussed
these are definitely
this.
Not to scale. Because we also got the Eevee and the Mewtwo one, and the Eevee is bigger than Mewtwo.
Yes, and Mewtwo is a little tiny.
Where my 4-year-old is like, Daddy, that's not right. And I'm like, use your imagination, kid.
Just you use it. This is an activity.
These are models. They're not supposed to be to scale.
Yes. So for any of you, we discussed these Pokeplot in a past episode. Basically, these are official. So if, like, we've discussed model building kits, figures kind of based on the Gundams. Mm-hmm. They're now Pokemon versions. So these are basically kind of like pieces of plastic that you snap out of a grid, and
you don't need clippers for these. Yeah. Even though I was non-clipper shamed the last time we brought these up.
Yeah, you can basically pop them out, or you can, like Hoffer says, you can clip them out with bolt cutters. This one doesn't require any glue; you just snap them together. I think this took me like 5 minutes to build. It was really quick, but yeah, this is just like super cute. Its ears move when you turn Pikachu's head. The tail is movable. You can like make them wave at you and stuff. The price points for these are super super affordable. They're all less than $15 or $20, so you can pre-order them now. But absolutely recommend it if you're new to the Gunpla thing and you've looked at like people building Gunpla kits or even Transformers ones that they have now. There's
Transformers ones are awesome.
Yeah, there's Dragon Ball version ones also. I mean, there's tons of these kits that you can get, and you look at them and it says 500 pieces, glue required, paint, and you're just like, I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore. but now this is a very cheap way. It's under $20. Stickers are probably the hardest part you got to do. Yep. I kind of messed up the sticker on his nose, so we're just not going to look at that. But yeah, these are super great. I just wanted to kind of show them to everyone. These are 900% something I would recommend that you could do with your kid.
My kid's almost, she's 4.5 now, and she did, I would say, maybe 75% of the EV one. There were a few little, like, some of the mechanic parts that I had to help her out with, but instructions are easy to read. She did most of it herself. I did the stickers for her and, like I said, some of the other parts. But outside of that, like, it was great. And now she's addicted to them. I'm addicted to them. I wish there were more now.
Yeah. Or you could be like me and do them with your 25-year-old boyfriend. There's really no age limit here, to be honest. But, yeah, just want to let everyone know we got the Pokepla, and it was as amazing as we had hoped. Mm-hmm.
Lastly, on the trading card front, the Sword and Shield set is set to hit stores next week. Mm-hmm. Yes. Megan and I unboxed a brick of booster packs yesterday, so you can check on our Facebook page or on YouTube to check that video out, and we got some pretty sweet pulls.
Yeah, we got...
Like, I was shocked.
We got several V-Maxes, several V-cards.
So, yeah, this is the new set that introduces the V-Max cards, the V-cards, the new holofoil sort of designs. Galarian Pokemon are all mixed into this naturally. And, of course, if you want to get your hands on some of these early this weekend are the pre-release tournaments for you to get your hands on some of those. But all in all, I'm excited for the Sword and Shield wave of the trading card game. I think a lot of the cards that we saw looked cool. Some of the mechanics look really cool.
Yeah. The artwork looked great.
The artwork is great. Yes. So definitely check those out.
Mm-hmm. Would recommend.
All right. When we get back, we are going to go through Pokemon Home and all of its perceived problems, because they're not really real problems, when we get back.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right.
I love when we cut off. Hoffer was just immediately ready to fight.
Jim, you know, like we've got to have a talk here. Stop beating the trolls. Jeez, you already got in trouble with this once this week. Like, you know, stop. God, you know, you're just giving them air.
Okay. So Pokemon Home is announced, and really the only thing that people have a problem, or at least I saw, is the price.
Yeah, and it's the only thing I've seen.
Hoffer, break it down.
Okay, so Pokemon Home was announced. It comes out in February. There's two plans. One is the basic free plan. You get 30. You can hold up to 30 Pokemon, which is kind of a joke. you can do a limited amount of trades. Like the GTS system, the global trade system, is coming back. And with a free plan, you can do, I believe it's... I forget how many, but you can do more if you have this premium plan, and you can do a smaller amount. And same thing with the Wonder Box. You can participate in like friend trades. So you can actually create like a friend room and do trades between your friends. And you can participate if you have the free plan, but you can set one up if you get the paid plan. Mm. So the paid plan, you get access to 6,000 Pokemon spaces. You can transfer Pokemon from your Pokemon. Yeah, you can transfer Pokemon from the Pokemon Bank system to Pokemon Home. You can do up to 10 Pokemon through the Miracle Box, which are basically Wonder Trades at a time. Mm-hmm. You can put 3 Pokemon in the Global Trade system, and it comes with an IV checker.
Oh.
The premium plan costs $16 a year. $16 for a year.
Yeah.
Because people will find anything to complain about.
That breaks down to about $1.33 a month.
Yes. And so, like, you know, the issue, I think, here's where I'll dial back and say, here's what I think the complainers are coming from. It's not as much the price. It's more that this follows the announcement of a $30 DLC.
Mm-hmm.
With Pokemon Sword and Shield, in order to participate in any of the online stuff, which previously was free, you now have to pay $20 a year. So, in order to get the full Pokemon gaming experience, you now have to pay $90 for the game, $20 a year for the internet access, and $16 a year for the Pokemon Home subscription. That's still, in the grand scheme of things, not a huge cost, mm-hmm. but it is a cost.
Sure.
Mm. You know, that's where I think...
The Nintendo Online part of it, I don't buy as a Pokemon-only expense, right? Like, if you have a Switch, you are not only playing Pokemon for its online capabilities.
Yeah, and like, there's people are, like, picking and choosing. Like, I saw people, like, throwing in, like, the Pokemon Bank subscription of $5 per year as, like, a cost that gets added into it. And it's like, no, because everyone's going to cancel Pokemon Bank as soon as you did. Like, I would be more upset about this, if not for the fact that Pokemon Bank, which is a much more dialed down version of Pokemon Home, was like a free service. Oh, and by the way, for the month after this comes out, everyone gets Pokemon Bank for free for a month, so that everyone, if you get the Pokemon Home, you can go and move all your Pokemon from Pokemon XY, Pokemon Sun and Moon, Pokemon Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, and Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, and older games like Pokemon Black and Pokemon White through the Poke Transporter, and you can move those all into Pokemon Home, which will act as a permanent home for your Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think, like, you know, $16 a year, you know, this is a lot. This is a pretty cheap service in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I'm just, you know, I understand that, you know, they are tacking on costs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I empathize with people who feel that they cannot afford that, and that is a luxury that they cannot afford. And I do understand that. However, this is still an optional service.
Yep.
You know, if you are that concerned about your Pokemon, you know, you can still pay that $5 a year to keep the Pokemon Bank active, and keep your older Pokemon alive. And, you know, there's nothing that says that, you know, Pokemon Sword and Shield, you can store those Pokemon. There's nothing that says that you need to have your older Pokemon in your newest games. And while I agree that, you know, it is a cost, it's a cost. Like, you know, it's really the Pokemon company is just catching up to what every other gaming company does. Mm-hmm. And it's still cheaper than what other gaming companies do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's coming down to, again, the debate that we had months ago between what's optional and what should just come implicit with the cost of the game. And for a lot of the people who are complaining, the people who are complaining are the same people who said, we should just be able to have all the Pokemon in Sword and Shield from the get-go immediately without additional cost. And so they don't see the necessity of paying an optional $15, $16 cost a year to get what they feel should have been naturally included with the base game, period. Right. So I feel like it's also primarily that fundamental disagreement of what should be optional versus what should be inherent in the game. And that's not something that can be fixed. That's the Pokemon company's decision. And that's that. I mean, the cost, again, I can understand. Like, I only recently got the Pokemon Switch Online shtick because I didn't want to pay $20 a year. I have a very tight budget. Like, I can understand that for players. And I was like, all right, Christmas, someone get me gift cards. Give me gift cards so I can try this for a year. So I can understand that. But I also feel like if you're the kind of person who is determined, hell-bent one way or another to get all of your old Pokemon into Sword and Shield or into your Pokemon Home at the very minimum, then you're probably somebody who has a budget for Pokemon yearly. Yeah. And you could probably not get that Pokemon mug at GameStop or online or on Etsy and instead get the Pokemon Bank system.
Right. Yeah, this is the equivalent to like four packs of Pokemon cards.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if you were to just collect, you know, potential change that you get, like, it really, I mean, it's only, it really breaks down to just like a little more than a dollar a month. And when you look at it that way, you know, it's a much different, I think it is much different. But this is, I think, a necessary, and yeah, I remember, like, this is not really a service that I, you know, the Pokemon company can probably provide for free for it to be sustainable.
Right.
So, you know, the big question is like, home is a big thing that I think we as fans and players actually kind of need to go on this ride into the future with Game Freak and the Pokemon company and whatever to give them the capabilities and the resources to make what we love bigger and better. Like, look, there's going to be just flat out storage, you know, and storage fees and things like that, that are going to have to come from, you know, the Nintendo, or not Nintendo, but the Pokemon company and what they're going to have to do there and operational stuff. And while, you know, it may not seem like a lot, like, well, they're just, you know, holding on to data, but like, think of how many players are out there and how many, you know, different, Pokemon are going to be lodged into Pokemon Home. And so there's a lot at play there where, like, I get the price concerns, but at the same time, I believe that there is a bigger picture plan at play here with this.
Yeah, and like, I think that some of this is, you know, just let's look at the alternative. Would people be more inclined if Pokemon Sword and Shield were like a $75 game, you know, but this sort of functionality came included in it? Would people be more inclined to pay for that? You know, is Because how I look at it as, and this is very much not something that's needed to play the Pokemon games.
No, you know, I'm not like, going to get it, I don't think.
I definitely won't
because I don't. I stopped playing long enough that, like, I don't have any Pokemon that I would care about bringing over, kind of thing. I would, like, you know, if I'm as invested in future games like I am with Sword and Shield now, I can see myself potentially picking it up so I can, you know, bring some of that stuff over. Even the Pokemon that I've got, because does this or does this not include Pokemon you catch in Pokemon Go?
It not initially, but it will eventually include support for it.
And so, like, I may have a few Pokemon in Pokemon Go that I, you know, would care about, you know, bringing over and bringing on with me, but for me, like, Sword and Shield was such a, you know, revitalization for me in the games that, like, do I want to bring my, you know, Colossal over with me to the next game if possible? Yeah, probably. But that's a bridge that is a bit far from me now. Like, and I get it. Like, I know that there are a ton of people who have like actual emotional attachments to the Pokemon that they play with in their games, right? Like, I still remember, like, I brought my original Blastoise as far along with me as I could when playing with that. And you're like, I wish I could have that Blastoise back. I can't, but whatever. But you know, I get it, right? Like, there's a lot of that. And so,
man.
But at the end of the day, it's up to us, the players, to figure out what is a nice to have versus a must have. And to me, all of this stuff is nice to have. Like, the Pokemon company could just say, Pokemon Bank is it, and that's all you get.
And that's the thing. I see a lot of these conversations. I see this a lot with D&D, where D&D, you know, there's a lot of complaints about how the books are $50, you know, for a book. And you know, while at some level, like, yeah, that's a lot of money for a book, but on the flip side, you know, look how much you're getting out of that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I look at this the same way. It's like $16 a year. Like, you know, if you are that emotionally and like, frankly, I mean, I hate to say this, it's good business strategy from the Pokemon company. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if you are so invested in your Pokemon that you feel they've decided, like, well, we're going to put a cost on, you know, how emotionally attached you are. I mean, it's just from the pragmatic sense. And that's that. I'm not going to say whether that's good or bad or right or wrong, but, you know, they kind of already did it with the Pokemon Bank. So, you know,
and that's the thing too. Like, everyone's like, well, why couldn't they just make the Pokemon Bank better? You know, there's probably there's probably a point where like they have actual technical limitations with the framework that they've built with Bank. And so the only way to get around that is to build something new that gives them flexibility and, you know, far into the future. There's only so much that they could have done with Bank. Home is the next, you know, thing. It's in the same way.
Like, when you look at it, like, this looks like a service that's three times as better as Pokemon Bank. So that's like my thing's like, okay, I mean, and I'm pretty sure they looked at it. It's like when you go and take a look at everything Pokemon Bank and Pokemon Home can do compared to what Pokemon Bank can do, and you're just like, oh, yep, nope, this is why this costs this much. It makes sense.
Yeah. And at the same time, like, I don't think any of us were expecting to get the Sword and Shield DLC in the period, right? Like, we expected a new full game maybe next year. And so for us to be getting that as soon as we are is crazy. And sure, yes, it's another $30 that the Pokemon's going to be able to get, you know, Pokemon Company's going to be able to get from you this year. But the Pokemon games are evolving and they're changing. And I think, you know, I would rather getting the DLC has me not knowing where the limit is for Sword and Shield, right? Like what, at what point do they say, we have done all that we can with Sword and Shield, here is the next game? And like, obviously next game would be a new region, new Pokemon, etc. But,
or those Sinnoh remakes.
Now you're feeding the trolls, Hopper. Yeah. Stop it.
But no, like, I'm just giving people false hope. Yeah. There's a difference.
But that's the thing that gets me excited, right? Like, knowing that I'm going to be able to like to spend a bit more time in the Galar region and get these DLC, you know, packs, hopefully every so often. Just has me like just excited and invested in staying in the ecosystem that is what the Pokemon company has created. Yeah. It's going to cost me, and I'm going to have to, you know, make sure that I'm able to, you know, budget accordingly, but that's my choice. Like, I want to continue doing this. And so,
and if it's too much, I mean, you do have the choice of stepping back.
If I gotta cut some comics from my pull list, that's fine. Pokemon's killing the comic book industry anyway.
Yeah. And also Jim has crap taste in comics, so you know, most of them could be afforded to get cut.
Wow.
So I said it.
I have great taste in comics.
You have the worst taste.
Wow, this is a different story for a different podcast. But I will say it's interesting. Like, for a game that's fundamentally about evolution, it's weird to see how evolution has become a bad word for some people. like I'm going full Hamilton here. Like, it's strange to see that. Like, this game is all about making progressions and moving forward. And now they're trying to like literally find these ways of avenue. And the staunch diehards are saying, no, no, no. And it's, I'm not even saying staunch diehards because we're staunch diehards in here, but we're saying go, go, go. It's just, there's always going to be an echo chamber online discussions about what's good, what's right, what's bad, what's wrong. We're all going to have different opinions, but I think it does come down summarily to what's necessary for you to play the game and what's extra that you would personally like. Mm-hmm. And all the features that they've announced and that they're coming out with, they're add-ons.
A ton of people bought Sword and Shield. They couldn't bring their old Pokemon into the game yet. They played it just fine. They liked the game. Mm-hmm. Well, what are you missing? What are you missing?
I mean, I played the game just fine and loved it with my initial review without having the online service, without having Pokemon Home, without having any of the DLC. I loved the game and it was fine and I greatly enjoyed it. And it wasn't until December I got the online function and I realized what happened in the wild area when you had the online function. And now I love it even more. But that was an optional choice on my behalf. So yeah. It's going to be the same thing for Bank. I don't know if I'm going to go into it, though I have my X and Y and all of those Pokemon that I would like to bring over. You know, I don't know if that cost is weighing it out for me. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to come down to each person's individual understanding of necessity, desire, and money. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're going to have so many conflicting opinions on this. So it's going to be a touchy subject, but all in all, I don't think it's a bad or unwarranted move by the Pokemon Company.
Right.
It was going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm. And here we are.
So, and it's here.
All right, Hoffer, let's go to the Pokemon Fact of the Week.
Okay. So we are to Jigglypuff. And it is a weird one. So Jigglypuff is basically a giant balloon. We know this. But really, it's more kind of like a bagpipe.
A furry bagpipe.
The reason why is because Jigglypuff inflates and then it lets out that air when it sings. Here's the thing. Jigglypuff does not inhale when it sings. This usually isn't a problem because it puts every Pokemon to sleep, but the Pokedex notes that it is in danger of suffocating when it faces an enemy that can't be put to sleep and that it puts its own life in danger. Any time that like a Pokemon is able to resist that sleeping ability, which is terrifying.
This is
a Pokemon that might kill itself in battle if it goes up against like a Loudred.
One of two things must have happened. The researcher, a professor, must have tried to see how long a Jigglypuff could sing and noticed that the Jigglypuff was suffocating and had to stop it at one point. Or someone came across a dead Jigglypuff, performed an autopsy, and realized it suffocated itself.
I have so very many. So does it like breathe through its skin?
No.
It never mastered like the art of breathing while singing. You know, that entire, you know, it's because it's one continuous song. It doesn't have any like natural pauses, right. Like, you know, and it hasn't like, you know, what is it? Throat singing, which, you know, you can do continuously. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So they don't know
how to do circular breathing. No. Basically.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Jigglypuff is a monster to humanity.
Poor Jigglypuff. What?
No, I can't circular breathe. I'm with you.
Can you imagine like when we get to like the like some like regional variant of Jigglypuff that does know how to breathe while singing and like what sort of like terror that they'll like unleash upon it? It's like this Jigglypuff doesn't like, you know, suffocate while singing. So, you know, it can just sing for days and days and days. And oh yeah, like no Pokemon can resist it, and its like ability is like guaranteed sleep or something like that.
Jeez. Opera singer Jigglypuff. That's what I'm looking forward to.
That was a good one. I that's especially because, I mean, who doesn't love Jigglypuff? Apparently Megan, who thinks Jigglypuff's a menace, but
monster to humanity. Get it right.
Jesus.
The name's important.
If you like this show, if you liked everything that we talked about today, we've got plenty more for you to listen to if you want to check them out. So funny, I had to go pull some numbers for a big business meeting about the show. And turns out a bunch of you actually do like to go back and listen to a bunch of episodes. We've seen it in a few of the reviews. People say they love to go back and binge it. We will always encourage that because I think all of the conversations we have are very good.
You'll miss some key moments.
You'll miss very key moments, and you'll learn why we are the way we are.
You'll miss Hoffer's extreme emotional damage.
Right. And so tell your friends about the show. If you've got people you play Pokemon with or Pokemon Go with, or you're in a, you know, you go to a trading card game tournament every so often, tell them about the show. The more people who talk about the show and listen to the show, we love. And it just helps us keep doing what we do and provide for our adoring fan base and audience. We are anywhere podcasts can be found. So if you're new and you may have stumbled onto us from the website or somewhere else, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever podcasts can be found, hit that subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. Every so often, we read reviews on the show. And if we read a review, your review, and it's 5 stars on iTunes, you get a free t-shirt. I just printed out a whole bunch of labels this week. And so now I got to go stick them in a bunch of envelopes to get them out to both Wild Podcast fans and obviously Comic Book Nation fans. So, if you love the show, head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. If you want to talk to us about any of our opinions about Pokemon, mainly Christian's bad ones, you can find him at Twitter at CHofferCBus.
I am livid right now. For the record, I have the best opinions about Pokemon. Megan is a very close second, and Jim is like somewhere in like the millionths, like worst opinions.
Wow.
Just for the record.
Well, if you Megan, would like to mediate between these two, I'm on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And you can tell me how great I am and how great my opinions are. Oh, that came off terribly.
Came out exactly right and how wrong you are.
I am at Jim Viscardi. So we will see you at the same time, same place next Thursday. We'll catch you there. Talk to you later, folks.